Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio family, happy weekend and welcome back once again. Great conversation awaits here on the weekend edition of Community Focus, heard here on our Odyssey stations. Very nice to have your wonderful company and a great opportunity indeed to talk about good people who are doing some good things in our community. I can't think of the best person in the house to talk to. My buddy, I know he's yours too, because I just always love it when we can get together to hear about the wonderful success stories, especially for those of you who are taking that homeowner strut and you're getting out of that rental rut. And with that said, I can only be talking about one person who I so enjoy talking about home ownership, and that is the official return of you, sir, Mustafa Shabazz. How have you been? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Renee. Thank you for having me, and I am doing wonderful. It's a pleasure to be back, and I appreciate every opportunity that you afford me to be on your program. Thank you so very much.
You are so very welcome, and I appreciate the knowledge, my brother. I really do. Thank you. I tell you, every time I have an opportunity to be on social media, and this is really for all of my real estate friends in the industry and in the business, I mean, it's just... It makes me, I think, just as joyous to see others achieve the possibility, because it's in reach for really each and every one of us when it comes to owning our own homes. But particularly for persons who didn't think that reach was in front of them directly, but then they meet a person like you that shows them step by step that it really isn't a hard process when they go about it the right way, when they get in contact with the right people. And really the most important thing, in addition to us listening, is applying what we're told to do. You know, and so when I think of all of those various qualifications, you definitely fit that to a T. So my hat's off to you for continuing to do not only what you do, Mustafa, but because of the number of years that you have been doing it, you do this because you love to help people.
Yes, that is true. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
It is a passion. It is a
Absolutely.
Passion of mine, and sometimes it gets challenging.
Right.
Life is challenging for many of us. We went through a very challenging year.
Absolutely.
And so we have a tendency to rise to the occasion mm-hmm. to meet the challenge.
No
so
doubt.
We have challenging times ahead of us in terms of housing, in terms of being able to get into a home. But we're going to meet those challenges,
yeah.
And we're going to persevere.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be successful.
That's right.
We're just going to put
Absolutely. And with good folk like yourself, that is very much a possibility. And look at you. Look what you did. That is a perfect segue into the first question that I have for you for the morning. How has the pandemic itself impacted the real estate market?
It has impacted it in ways that I did not foresee,
mm-hmm.
simply because we have we are experiencing record low inventory levels. And I mean record low inventory levels. Wow. I don't think inventory levels have been this low since record keeping has been kept.
Wow.
So what we're experiencing is that houses are pretty much flying off the market.
Mm-hmm.
I can the scenario that I'm not sure if I used this scenario previously, but I'm going to use it again.
Yes.
For those who don't may not quite understand where we are. But last year in 2020, around this time in April, there was a certain commodity in the grocery store that everyone was trying to get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very elusive. It was very hard to find.
It certainly was.
People were going all over town looking for this one particular item on the grocery store shelves,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't find that item. And if you remember, that item was toilet paper.
Yes, it certainly was.
Well, houses have now become the toilet paper.
Wow.
So that's basically the in a nutshell where we are in the housing industry. We're trying to find houses to buy because the inventory levels are so low and they're just absolutely flying off the shelves. The average days on market for a house now is 4 days.
Really? And you know what, Mustafa, you just took the words right out of my mouth. And I think that was just an excellent illustration that really drives home the point as to what is taking place for individuals that are now at a place or at a point where they're making that decision to get out of that rental rut and into the homeowner strut, and are finding that, yes, the housing market has become the TP, if you will, as to what's going on as far as looking for a place. Wow. Well, I mean, just the way you described it, it was just spot on.
So we are, and not only is the inventory level very low,
mm-hmm.
what we're also experiencing is that you have institutional buyers, investors, big money, highly leveraged investor conglomerates, I mm-hmm. may add,
mm-hmm.
that are going in and buying up a great deal of this inventory because mm-hmm. they can pay cash.
Right.
And when you've got someone who's tried to do the right thing in mm-hmm. terms of becoming credit worthy where they can purchase a home,
right,
saving the money for the down payment, for their closing costs.
Yeah.
Dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's in terms of what it takes for a typical small family just starting out trying to get their first home.
Right.
But they're doing everything that they can possibly do
mm-hmm.
to put themselves in a situation where they can purchase, and then they're competing against
yeah.
conglomerates who right. have cash,
yeah.
money,
exactly.
to make offers on property. And they're snatching these properties up, and they're not buying them with the intent of reselling them.
Exactly.
They're buying them with the intent of renting them out.
Right, exactly.
And so it drives up the rental market as well, so that affordable renting becomes an issue, affordable housing becomes an issue,
mm-hmm.
and it's a snowball effect that is really creating a crisis, not just in the Triad, but in most metropolitan areas in America. We're finding the same thing is taking place.
Wow. And this is where the knowledge, Mustafa, and we've talked about this time and time again, truly comes in, is that we have to be knowledgeable as to what's going on with the ups and downs of the housing market, so that when it does come time to make one of the most crucial decisions of many that we're going to make in life, and there are quite a few. I mean, it's a arm's length and probably longer. But to emphasize the point, and why I'm so happy that you have returned with us here on the weekend edition of Community Focus to address where we're currently standing, especially nearly just a little over a year after this major pandemic, which is still with us. And is likely going to continue to be with us for some time. But with that said, Mustafa, let me get one question in before we go to break. Are there still funds available for buyers to help with down payment assistance that you just talked about?
The funds are there because the inventory levels are so low.
Mm-hmm.
The funds are plentiful because they're not being utilized to the extent that they were prior to the pandemic and prior to us having an inventory shortage.
Right.
So the funds are there. There are plenty of funds for down payment assistance. It's just trying to get to the point where you can actually utilize the funds and use the funds and get a property under contract to use the funds. So funds are not an issue right now. Interest rates are very low. They're still at historical lows.
Right.
The down payment assistance funds are available in most counties, at least most metropolitan areas.
Right.
I can't attest to in rural communities what those funds are like, but they are available. So that's not the big issue right now. It's not the funding. The big issue right now is the inventory, is trying to find the property.
Absolutely.
Which and we may want to discuss this after break, because there's a trap. There's something that's going on that's taking place right now. This is one of the reasons why I really wanted to come on and address this issue, because too many people are setting themselves up for failure, and we can discuss how that's taking place, what's happening, and this, and I want to sound the alarm.
Thank you for that.
To not fall into this trap.
Absolutely. And that is a perfect a stopping point for the first half of our program. So definitely we will have the time within the second half of the program. But my brother, I thank you as always. I look forward to this time when we can get together and really indeed talk about the good things that are taking place in our communities. So it is good to have you back, family. Let's take this break again to thank not only you, Mustafa Shabazz, but to thank you, Radio Family, for tuning in. Indeed, as soon as we can come back as quickly as possible, we will continue with the second half. You are listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus, and we will be back after this break. It is more the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you for being with us. If you have been Radio Family since the start of the program, if you're just joining us, it is good to have your company as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. The weekend edition of Community Focus here every weekend on our Odyssey stations, and great conversation with members of our Community Focus family. Definitely continuing in a great conversation with Realtor Mustafa Shabazz. Not only have we Mustafa for the first half of the program, and as we're coming back from break to kind of catch our radio family up to speed with what's been going on, we talked about earlier how the pandemic has impacted the real estate market, whether or not there's still funds available for buyers to help with down payment assistance. The next important question that I want to start with here as we do return from break: many homeowners have asked for a forbearance from their mortgage company during COVID. How will this impact the industry going forward, and especially or equally so for the homeowner?
Well, I think since we have been on the last time, we've had a change in administration as far as national leadership.
Right.
And how that administration addresses this housing problem is yet to be determined. Prior to this administration, what lenders were doing is they were offering a forbearance to homeowners that would allow them to stay in their home, not make a payment, right, and basically put those payments on the back burner.
Right.
But with a forbearance, oftentimes what the lenders would do, once they have the go ahead and get the green light to proceed with foreclosure proceedings, they will move forward with foreclosure proceedings and will ask that homeowner to catch all those payments up. To catch those payments up, or to get it a modification to basically refinance the entire loan and start over, so to speak.
Right.
The problem with that is that a lot of people have lost jobs.
Exactly.
They've not been making their payments, but they don't have gainful employment anymore. A lot of them have lost jobs, especially in the middle to poor income communities where they are in a service oriented type of a job or a factory position. They may have lost their job, so they can't get a modification because they can't prove that they are able to make those payments.
Right.
So you're going to find a wave of foreclosures that's going to probably hit the market at some point, and I can't say exactly when that will be, but I see that there will be a shift. There will be more foreclosures, more inventory coming onto the market as a result of people not being able to stay into their homes, and lenders are now able to proceed with the foreclosure process. So that's going to significantly impact a lot of homeowners who presently have homes.
Exactly.
It's going to open up inventory a little bit in terms of having more to choose from.
Right.
But what's going to happen, and this is the scenario, this is the problem that I'm foreseeing, this is what's going on right now. Because of the lack of inventory, every single property goes into a bidding war. Mm. There are multiple offers on just about every single property, even crap properties that investors are snatching up for, you know, $10,000 to $15,000. I mean, that's really a property that could possibly need to be torn down.
Right.
There are multiple offers on those as well.
Wow.
So what happened is that buyers are being desperate. They're getting desperate to find something.
Mm-hmm.
They're settling.
Right.
They want to find something, so they're overbidding on properties.
Wow.
They're paying more than what the value of that property is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's occurring as well is that, you know, I just went under contract with one yesterday. I wasn't representing the buyer,
mm-hmm.
but where the buyer agreed to pay thousands of dollars more than what the house would appraise for if the appraisal came in less than what their contract was for.
Oh,
so first of all, they made offers thousands of dollars over list price,
mm-hmm.
and then agreed to pay thousands of dollars over the appraisal price if the appraisal came in less.
Yeah.
And this is what the desperation is causing.
Yeah.
So basically what they're agreeing to do is they're agreeing to go into a property with negative equity from day one. So if you take this scenario, let's say you drive into a new car lot and you buy a brand new car,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as you drive it off the lot, you know you've lost money.
Exactly, it depreciates.
You've lost money from day one. If you go try to sell that same car a week from now, you're gonna lose money because you will not be able to get out of it what you paid for it once it's become a used car.
Right? Exactly.
Same thing is taking place with real estate right now. People are buying homes, they're closing on the home, and then they're automatically in an upside down situation.
Wow.
You have negative equity.
Yeah.
So when the market adjusts, and it will adjust,
mm-hmm.
it always adjusts.
Yeah.
We're in a seller's market. We were previously in a buyer's market. We're now in a seller's market, a true seller's market. And once it adjusts, valuations that have skyrocketed are going to come back down. Now, as for first-time home buyers, particularly for first-time home buyers, the biggest jump in valuation are in the middle and median income price houses.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the biggest jump in valuations are. So guess what happens when valuations start coming back down?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first place it's going to hit.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you bought a home, you paid $10,000 over valuation, over the appraised value. If you got it financed, the finance company is not going to allow you to be financed for more, but people have access to cash now because they've been saving.
Right.
So they can afford to pay more than what the appraiser would come in for.
Mm.
But when valuations adjust, and like I indicated previously, it will adjust. Once it adjusts, now you're $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 underwater.
Exactly. And that is the reason why, Mustafa, I appreciate you coming back on the program, because you are constantly updating us with this type of information that's helping us in that decision-making process, and how important it is that we do our research, that we make sure that we are really, like you said earlier, dotting our I's and crossing our T's. Now, let me take that one step further. Let's talk a little bit, or shift gears a little bit. You think interest rates are going to remain favorable?
I've heard just this week that they're indicating that interest rates will remain low through 2022.
Okay.
So I don't see a significant rise in interest rates right now.
Right.
Because it's really driving the market.
Okay. Now let me backtrack just a little bit, because you were giving the scenario of individuals when we look back just a year ago in terms of when many people were likely laid off for a job or had lost their job due to COVID, and they were in that forbearance period. In all the years that you have been in realty, what's the general average, if any, that a homeowner will pay in terms of a monthly mortgage? Can you kind of give me a little bit of a price range?
Probably somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200.
Okay.
For a first time homeowner. That's typically you know, a good range. Up to $1,500 a month.
Okay.
And if there's a two adults working in the home,
right,
typically that's affordable.
Right.
If they've got decent jobs, up to $1,500 a month.
And I appreciate you sharing that, because what I was trying to do when we were on that subject matter, trying to do the math in my head, because like you said, with some lenders, they're asking you to collectively pay that all at one time. So if you're breaking down the math on that, that's a pretty heavy load for an individual to try to carry, especially if one is currently unemployed, or like you said, and it may be a scenario where both individuals may not be presently employed or currently working. But like you said, when we see the housing market and how it's constantly shifting, there are going to be some highs and there are also going to be some lows. So with that, let's focus a little bit on in asking you, can you speak to the housing crisis that's currently taking place in America?
Yes, I spoke a little bit on it. Let me elaborate a little bit more on,
sure,
what's taking place, because we spoke previously about the conglomerates or the investors who have deep pockets.
Exactly.
Going in and purchasing these properties and using them for rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it just this week about a community in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a D.R. Horton community. They had built an entire neighborhood, a community, and they sold the entire new construction community to one conglomerate, to one big corporation.
Really?
And they were going to rent out every single one of them. So that's something that I heard of. But let me tell you something that I have experienced personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same here in Winston-Salem. And I was in fact, in this particular community, I sold my last two new construction homes in that community, but I knew there were quite a few others that were being built.
Mm-hmm.
But they were pending, they were already under contract, and my concern was, my question was, well, what agent, who's got these under contract?
Yeah.
And I was just doing it out of curiosity.
Right.
So I pulled up all the properties that were pending in that community to see what agents had them under contract. Let me see what my competition is doing out here.
Yeah.
To my surprise, I found that there was one agent, mm-hmm, out of Raleigh-Durham who had about 10 properties under contract.
Wow.
In this one community.
Really?
That let me know that they were selling to an investor client,
mm-hmm,
representing an investor client who were buying all of these brand new construction properties to use as rental properties.
Wow.
So that just, you know, confirmed what I was already thinking was taking place.
Right.
Secondly, what else? Another thing that's taking place, and I just saw this yesterday, that the cost of lumber,
mm-hmm,
is going to continue to rise to 191%.
Mm.
Of where it is.
Yeah.
So not only are the inventory levels low, new construction is being priced so much higher out of the grasp of first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
Because the cost of the material has, the cost of housing to new construction to continuously go up.
Mm-hmm.
So that now there's no new construction that first time home buyers can afford to buy.
Right.
Because the materials are so high.
Yeah.
And the builders have to pass that cost on to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. So we have also in America that's contributing to this crisis, this housing crisis, is the supply chain.
Yeah.
The supply chain is being impacted significantly because of of whatever reason, you know, people not cutting down enough trees, the plants that's processing lumber, they're short on help, whatever the case may be, but there's a shortage in the, there's a lack of inventory, lack of supply that's feeding the supply chain, and it's causing the cost of materials to go up, which in turn caused the cost of housing to rise as well. So it's a very, very serious issue that we're dealing with now, something that's got to be addressed that won't be remedied tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, or next week or next month. Right. It's going to take us a while to recover from this. But what I would like to say to potential buyers, home buyers, is that we need to continue to say you need to have an advocate working on your behalf so that you don't make these significant financial decisions based on emotions. This is not a time to make an emotional decision. It needs to be one based on sound rationale and sound judgment. And you need someone who really is an advocate for you, who really cares about your needs, your future needs, and not just someone that's trying to make a sale. Someone who's really concerned about your well-being down the road. Not today, not tomorrow, but a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. These decisions kind of come back and impact you and impact your lives in a way that you couldn't imagine if you don't go about this doing it correctly.
Very true. And thank you for emphasizing that, Mustafa, and why I am so happy that we were able on a day like today to bring this conversation to the weekend edition of Community Focus. And that is a way with which I will segue into saying thank you once again, radio family, welcoming some of you who may just be joining us. Again, you're listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus here on our Odyssey stations. We bring not only the conversation, but we bring the knowledge and we bring the experts on various topics of discussion to this public affairs program. And today I have one of the best in the business in realtor Mustafa Shabazz with Fathom Realty. Now, Mustafa, with that, are there other factors relative to COVID-19 that are also impacting home ownership for either first time or move up home buyers?
Yeah, there are other factors. It all ties to the level of inventory, especially for move up buyers who want to move into a larger home, who want to sell their home, to take advantage of their equity position. And this, again, this is something that really needs to be taken into serious thought. We need to have very serious thought as it relates to putting your houses on the market. Now, I love listings. I love to work with sellers. But one of the things that I ask sellers prior to them talking about putting their house on the market is that, do you have any idea where you're going to go? Yeah. If you sell your house, where are you going to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you put your house on the market, and as I indicated previously, the average days on market is four days.
Yeah.
4 days.
Wow.
We are at a 0.90 month supply. In other words, there presently, before I came on the air, there are 1,200 and 88 active listings right now in the Triad MLS, comprised of a four county area. So there's 1,288 properties in four counties with over 6,000 agents.
Whew.
Okay.
Wow. if that gives you any indication, radio family, as you're trying to do the math in your head, as I'm trying to do right now, that is incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. I've never seen anything quite like this before. So if you're a seller and you're looking to sell, oftentimes what's happening is that sellers are putting their houses on the market. They're not thinking that it's going to sell that quickly.
Right.
And then the house sells and they can't find anything else.
Right, exactly.
Can't find anything else. And now they end up winning.
Yes, right.
So it's a very serious situation that we're dealing with right now in America, period.
Absolutely.
Particularly in the in metropolitan areas, we're experiencing this all over. And you can find that information out. It's out there about how bad the housing situation is. But in the same sense, if you're looking to rent, the rental market is just as bad. As far as housing is concerned, I'm sure there are apartments out here, but trying to find a house to rent, to find something decent, you're gonna pay $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 a month.
Wow. Just to rent.
To try to find something decent.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, really need to have good advice.
Absolutely.
As it relates to making these moves. It cannot be a knee-jerk reaction. It's got to be one based on sound rationale.
Very true, Mustafa. And I appreciate you for continually stressing that, because it's an old cliche that the majority of us have grown up either knowing or perhaps saying to someone else, knowledge is key. But it's so true. And it's so important. And that's why, for those, Mustafa, who may be listening to this program for the first time, and they find themselves in that position, let's reemphasize the importance in the last remaining minutes of the program. I can't believe how quickly time always flies. Once again, explain the difference between a seller's market and a buyer's market, and how both impact especially a new potential home buyer.
All right, so I'm going to give you the scenario of most people are familiar with a seesaw, and how it's balanced. You know, it goes up, one side goes up, other side comes down. When we went through the foreclosure crisis back in 2008, 2009, 2010, it was leaning heavily on the buyer side. It was a buyer's market because we had plenty of inventory.
Right.
And that inventory was being fueled by foreclosures. Mm-hmm. Interest rates were not as favorable. We had plenty of inventory out here, new construction inventory, because people just weren't buying. Mm-hmm. People were losing the homes. Yeah. In fact, at one point, we had lenders that were paying people up to $10,000 to do a short sale and them not have to foreclose on their property because they did not want the inventory.
Right.
So we had a buyer's market because we had plenty of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That drove prices down because there was so much competition out here that you could find deals.
Right.
You could find properties with equity in it. You could go into a property with equity from day one.
Right.
The seller's market, on the other hand, is the exact opposite of where we were back in 2008 and 2009.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a need for inventory. There's a lacking of inventory. And when there's more demand than there is supply, it drives the price of a commodity up. Right, because the demand for that commodity exceeds the supply of that commodity. And this is where we are right now. So people are willing to pay more for a house than what they probably would need to be paying because they're desperate. So that's the difference between a buyer's market and a seller's market. It's about supply and demand.
And demand. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Beautifully explained, sir. And so my final question to you, well, actually two. One will be the contact information. But before you share that, where do you see us headed as a nation, considering everything that is happening within the housing industry?
What I think needs to take place and what's probably going to take place is that there's probably going to be some type of government interventions that will enable homeowners to probably stay in their homes a little bit longer and give them some type of relief. So I can probably foresee that there will be some type of modification being offered to homeowners so that they can stay into their homes, so that we won't have that big flood of inventory of foreclosure properties hitting the market, bringing down values in communities, and that will decimate the equity position of everybody in that community. So once a property in the community goes into foreclosure, it has a domino effect on all the other properties in that community.
Right.
And it will decimate the equity position of people in that neighborhood. So I don't see we have a more sensitive, caring administration that will look out more for the average person, and that's compassionate. That's the word I was looking for.
You
know, we can combine conservatism with compassionism. you know, we can be both conservative and compassionate. Yeah.
With emphasis on the compassion part. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I can see that the government will have to intervene to give some relief to some of these homeowners so that they not end up in foreclosure. As I said before, once we get through this pandemic and we start getting back on jobs and we start manufacturing and starts back up at full scale as it was before, and we can bring prices down on commodities that go into a home, that will begin to bring prices down as well. So it's not something that's going to take place immediately.
Overnight,
it's going to be over a period of time.
Yeah.
But I feel confident that we will rebound from that and that we'll be okay.
Well, Mustafa, as always, thank you so much for the knowledge and the great conversation you always bring here on the weekend edition of Community Focus. Now, I'm sure our radio family may have some additional questions for you. So where or how is the best means of reaching out to you post today's program?
So probably the best way to communicate with me is to text me. You can text a question to this number, 336-986-0695. I'll repeat, that number is 336-986-0695. Once again, this is Mustafa Shabazz. I'm with Fathom Realty. We're in the triad. We work all of the triad. And I'll be more than happy to help you, to assist you in any way that I possibly can. If it's just giving you some information that will make this your life a little bit easier. But my thing is to try to help you as much as I possibly can.
Wonderful job, as always, my friend. Thank you so much. You know, with me, never any goodbyes. Just until next time.
But thank you, Renee. Listen, I really appreciate you having me on your program again.
Absolutely.
I look forward to coming on, and I felt, and I'm hoping that if there was something that I was able to get out there that could help someone, I hope that, you know, it's beneficial. My main concern coming on today was to sound the alarm, not to fall into these traps.
And thank you for sounding that alarm. Always appreciate you, family. Really, really do. And radio family, likewise for you. Thank you again and continually for the good things you're doing in our community. So Mustafa, until that next time, again, thank you for the much needed conversation as we officially bring to a close another great conversation. You have been listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Radio family, take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.